75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO File Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Hello, this is Larry Dickin with the UFO Files Report from Secaucus, New Jersey. Jerry will not be joining us for the next couple of months as he concentrates on interviewing and producing programs for our Roswell 60th anniversary series. This is a big production effort for us involving all of our staff. From July 4th through 8th, Jerry and our remote production crew will be recording programs in Roswell at the Civic Center and the Cover Up Cafe. We will be turning these programs around for your listening pleasure each day as they are recorded. In addition, Jerry will be broadcasting live from the Cover Up Cafe Friday night, July 6th at 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. Central Time. He'll be doing this broadcast with Dr. Rita Louise, who I think you might recall was in our Jefferson Ghost series, one of the featured interviewees. The live streaming audio will be available on our Roswell series page at www.jerrypippin.com. So please join us at night and listen. It'll be a lot of fun. Now, while Jerry is otherwise preoccupied with this Roswell series, Rick Trautman will be joining us temporarily as my co-host on the show. And of course, you'll remember that Rick, we use his Rick's Picks UFO sightings on each of our programs. And occasionally we pick on Rick too. And Rick is also a monthly contributor to UFO Magazine. And of course, UFO Magazine for years, they had no sightings reports. Well, Rick has stepped in and is providing a great series of sighting reports in each monthly issue. So I'd like to say hello right now to Rick. How are you doing, Rick? How's the weather in Seattle?
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate you bringing me on. I've been a fan of you and Jerry for a long time, and I'm no Jerry Pippin, but I'll do the best I can in his absence. I'm over here real close to Seattle. I actually live in a little town called Mukilteo. It's 15, 20 miles north of Seattle.
What was that again?
That's Mukilteo. That's an Indian name. It's spelled M-U-K-I-L-T-E-O, Mukilteo.
I guess that's really no worse than Muskogee or Secaucus.
I suppose, but nobody's ever heard of Mukilteo. But so we get all the Seattle weather, and right now, believe it or not, it's raining. Woohoo!
All right, what's new in Seattle?
Yeah,
huh?
No kidding. But it's raining, and high 50s, I guess. It had been pretty hot up until today, 70s, but today it's cooled off, and now it's raining like crazy, and high 50s. How is it over in beautiful Secaucus?
Well, it's relatively nice today. It got up to 80 degrees, and it's around 72 right now.
Wow.
But, it's really ideal spring weather. I love it.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, and supposed to stay that way for the next week.
Absolutely, yeah, it sounds nice. Yeah, I've been a fan of you and Jerry for a long time. I think I've been listening to you guys for, 3 and a half years or whatever. I think I've listened to about every show you've done since then. I think I have most of them archived here. And it's a real fun show. You and Jerry are real fun to listen to, and have a lot of interesting stuff, and I really like your different science news you do, you know, when you do the astronomy and all that. Really interesting.
Right. I wish I had some news of that sort this week. The only thing that's actually happened that's current, I don't want to go back too far in time, and I must apologize to our listeners that it's been, unfortunately, almost a month since we've done a program here.
Mm-hmm.
And but we hope to make up for lost time and make this a very interesting show. The only thing that's happened in the science area this week was last night they did launch a space shuttle.
Oh, I did hear that. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that space shuttle Atlantis is up for a trip to the, I guess, to the International Space Station.
Oh, interesting. I'm going to have to switch my NASA Select on here and maybe record it, see if I can pick up something strange going on. You never know what you might get on there.
I think something strange goes on every shuttle mission.
Yeah, it seems like it. It sure does. I think I'm going to try T-Lowing a bunch of it just in case something happens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little news release from during our filers reports from Phoenix. It's something that you'll find interesting.
Uh-huh.
Monitoring these news site webcams and picking up a UFO. This
right.
is not the first time
yeah.
that I've seen this. It happens every once in a while.
Yeah, I've seen that before, too. Yeah, I saw that on, I can't remember what city that was. It was some city cam, and somebody happened to look at it and notice there was two or three discs in the picture.
Right.
And so they, you know, took a screenshot of it and put it out on the internet, and it's pretty interesting. Yeah, you never know what you're going to get on one of those things.
That's right. That's constant aerial surveillance. You're bound to pick up something.
Actually, yeah. I do have a little bit interesting about that as far as, like, photography and UFOs. I've been reading a lot of reports. In fact, I wrote about it a little bit in my, I think it's going to be this month's article, in fact, of UFO Magazine. I can't remember. After a while, you start forgetting which month is what. But I think it's this month. But I've been reading a lot of reports where people, you know, they go out, take pictures of their family or whatever, and then they come home, download it onto their PC, and notice there's a disc in the picture. And
right.
and they never noticed it while they were out there. And I swear, it's like, if you go to National UFO Reporting Center or any of those and read, go right down the list, reading sighting after sighting, I swear it's 1 in 10 somebody will report that's what happened. And it's real common. And I had a real short conversation with the great David Sirita about
right.
this. And he says that with the advancing technology in digital photography, a lot of these cameras are sensitive to the infrared, ultraviolet, and even far ultraviolet spectrums, which your eye, you know, can't see. And he said that's the reason a lot of these are being picked up, because they're invisible to the human eye, but the digital camera will actually capture it. And anyone interested in UFO photography, if they're really serious about it, he even suggested a camera you get. He said it's a get the Fuji Pro UV IR camera, 10 megapixels.
Oh, right.
He said that one is certified in the infrared, ultraviolet, and far ultraviolet spectrums.
Uh-huh.
So he says he's had his out, and he actually was by a nuclear plant somewhere and was picking up, I don't know, he said streaks of light that were actually emissions from the nuclear plant. You can get all kinds of things with those strange things. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, that's especially with the newer cameras. I think that's the case.
Yes, uh-huh.
And we've discussed this on our program before.
Yeah, I did hear you say, sorry, I did hear you say a little bit about that
right.
A couple, three shows ago.
Yeah, where people will take pictures, you know, just normal pictures. They're not looking for UFOs. They're taking pictures of their family or
right.
friends or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're off on vacation and point the camera somewhere and they get home and they look at the photo and there's a UFO.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they wonder, how did that get there? I didn't see it. And, of course, in the old days, when you just had regular 35mm film,
mm-hmm.
And things like Polaroid cameras and whatnot, they really couldn't pick up things, especially in the ultraviolet
right.
infrared. And but still, and again, you would get these reports. I didn't see that. And of course, the common explanation is when a person's taking a photograph, they're concentrating on what they want to photograph, and they're not really fully focused on anything in the background.
Exactly. Yeah, I actually did that myself one time. I had the kids down at the zoo in Seattle, and we were by a hippopotamus cage or whatever, and I was taking a picture of my family there, and it was just an old 35mm SLR camera.
Right.
And developed it later, and lo and behold, in the background was a disc. I mean, you can take a magnifying glass to it, and it's a disc. And it's, you know, it's just, it's not an airplane or anything. But I didn't notice it while I was there.
Right.
I mean, it could have been visible to the eye. I don't know, but I just didn't happen to notice it at the time. I was looking at my kids.
It was probably so small.
Yes, it was.
You wouldn't have paid any attention to it.
Fairly small, but you could resolve it with a magnifying glass and see that it was actually a disc.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it happens. Really, it's real common.
And that's certainly an interesting a little aside there.
Yeah.
What I would like to do now is get into some of the news that I would like to provide to our listeners before we get into the sightings reports.
Sounds good.
And I'm going to start off with exactly what's going to be happening in Roswell. You know, Jerry and our many members of our crew are going to be out there
right.
Doing the remote broadcasts, and we have planned to do programs. They'll be recorded live out there. We'll be turning them around by the next day, and they will be posted on our website on the Roswell series page.
Mm-hmm.
The links to those programs, the venues for Jerry where he will be conducting the interviews, are the Civic Center. He's going to be there, I think, each morning starting at 10 a.m., and I think it's for a couple hours. He will be interviewing people and actually interacting with the audience there, because this is going to be in the middle of the activities that are all day long at the Civic Center, where there will be speakers and seminars and workshops. All during the day, the 4 days of the event. And also there will be a series of speaking events at the UFO Museum. And of course, people can go to the museum, go through the museum. It's a real interesting place to visit.
Sounds like fun.
Right. And there will be a full line of speakers there as well. So Jerry's going to be interviewing a lot of these people, as well as people who are visiting the festival. And we've really had some surprises in the past. People just walk up and say they want to talk about, you know, their abduction experience or their sighting experience, and we get some really good shows.
Oh, absolutely. You never know who's going to come up with a great story.
Right. So here's some of the people that are going to be out there, and if you haven't made your plans to attend the festival this year, please do so. I mean, the hotel rooms are going real fast. I think there's a few left. You know, it's this being the 60th anniversary celebration, the city of Roswell is fully involved with this. They're going to have a big parade at night with floats and everything, and lots of strange people doing lots of strange things.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. So here's some of the speakers who are going to be at the festival. And there's Stephen Bassett, Greg Bishop, Richard Dolan, John Greenwald, Michael Heiser, Guy Malone, who we have an interview with up on our site already. Nick Redfern. Jerry has a commitment to interview Nick again about his new book. Peter Robbins from here in the New York area, and Farah Uduzu, one of our producers, is going to be speaking.
Yeah, Farah's a great one too, boy.
Right.
Richard Dolan too, he's a good one. He's always a good interview.
And all of these people are speaking at the Civic Center, and this event is organized by Guy Malone. And then over at the UFO Museum, the following people are going to be appearing and speaking. Daryl Sims, going to talk about his latest book, his new book. I don't think Daryl had another book, so I won't say latest book. This is his first book, but it's really getting good reviews. And we're hopefully going to be selling that here on our shopping site. And then we have Ron Rieger, Yvonne Smith, Stanton Friedman. Stanton's going to be interviewed by Jerry again. We've interviewed Stanton many times.
Oh, boy, yeah.
But he always has something new to say.
He's been around a long time.
Right.
Interesting guy, definitely.
And I suspect he's going to have a few surprises to tell Jerry.
As usual.
And then, of course, there's going to be Don Schmidt, Bruce McAbee, Tom Carey, and Tom and Don work together on the trying to recover evidence, physical evidence, of the UFO crash. Jesse Marcel Jr.
Wow.
Don Carey, Stephen Mary Moore, Robert Wells. The list goes on and on here.
Yeah.
James Carrion, Victor Camacho, not the boxer.
Right.
I don't think. Unless right. Victor's seen a UFO.
I thought you meant the boxer.
let's see. Lloyd Pye, the alien skull.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially. Uh-huh. E.T. Skull. Some other people here, unfortunately, I don't know all the names, but I'm sure they're very interesting.
Yeah, I saw the list. It's huge.
Right. And there's going to be some workshops done by Rob Simone, Tom Horn, Roger Lear, Joe Montaldo, and so it's quite a list.
Wow, that sounds great. So I'd say Jerry ought to be pretty busy for a while.
He's going to be busy for 4 days and four nights. Yeah, it's good. Now, we have some other news here, some shorts, so to speak. I want to mention the
got
fact
some shorts?
That...
Oh, okay.
Well,
lose
not
those.
Boxers, no. We have a new video that has come out by James Gilliland, and we've interviewed James, I think last year, about his retreat up at Mount Adams in Washington State.
Right.
You probably
yes.
know where that is.
Yes,
And James says that Mount Adams is, you know, a sacred spot to Native Americans, and UFOs flock there all the time.
Is that the one that's near Trout Lake, or?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you know, it's like you go there, you're guaranteed to see UFOs, and
that's what they say. I'm thinking about trying it myself.
Maybe even communicate with some ETs.
You just never know.
Right. So, James has this video out, and it's called Contact Has Begun. Contact Has Begun.
Ah.
His story with James Gilliland. And this sounds like another opportunity. We're going to be in contact, James. Hopefully we can offer that video on our shopping site.
That sounds interesting.
Right. And let's see, we have a little item here on the MUFON conference that's coming up in August.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And that conference is held each year up in Denver. And this year should prove to be quite interesting. They always are.
Right.
Great conference. But this year, besides having a great speaker lineup that includes, it sounds like Roswell all over again, but, you know, July and August, I don't know where these people go in the interim, but they seem to show up at the conferences.
Yes, uh-huh.
But Stanton Friedman will be speaking this year at the MUFON conference. Richard Dolan, Timothy Good, Greenwald, and a number of other people.
Timothy Good, he's been around a long time.
Right.
Yeah, I remember reading his articles in the UFO Report magazine way back when. Real interesting guy.
And there'll be also a bonus workshop given on crash retrieval and MJ-12 documents by Ryan Wood.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Ryan has his own conference in Las Vegas in November. And that's always full of surprises. I'm sure there will be some this year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
At any rate, the MUFON conference will be featuring this year new evidence on the Betty and Barney Hill case. And that's something of great interest, because I don't know that anybody's come out with any new evidence since the 1960s.
That's right, I did hear that. Isn't there a book or something coming out?
I really don't know any details
on
this.
I don't really remember now either. It seemed like I heard there was a new book also with the new evidence in it, but I could be wrong, I guess.
But, you know, that case occurred in 1961.
Yes.
And now we're getting like 45, 46 years later, we have some new evidence here.
Huh.
And also, they're going to be covering the Portage, Ohio UFO case, which, unfortunately, I'm not familiar with that.
No, I'm not either, huh?
I'm sure that it's must be quite an event.
Must be.
And new revelations on the origins of the MJ-12 group.
Wow.
So, should be quite a conference.
Sounds good.
Let's see, and the last little news item here, an interesting write-up that we've received from Dr. Anthony Choi, and Anthony lives in Peru, and he has a write-up on the recent massive UFO sighting in Peru.
Oh, right, uh-huh. I heard a little bit about that.
And there's a video and some photographs. And this is like everybody standing out on the street in the capital city of Peru, Lima. And hundreds of white spherical objects passing overhead. Now, the whole event, the duration was approximately 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And there's 30 minutes of video of this event.
That's right. I saw a still shot of it. Right. There was a whole bunch of them up there in the sky.
Now, this reminds one of the sightings back in the early 1990s in Mexico City.
Right.
A similar type event with these white spheres, hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, somebody just let off a whole bunch of balloons and they're just floating around up there. The only problem with that theory is if you look at the videos of these events or photographs really doesn't tell you too much because they're static.
Right.
If you look at the videos, you can see by the movement of the objects that they're not just balloons drifting in the wind.
Right.
What they are, we really don't know. Are they a massive number of spherical shaped UFOs? Because UFOs do come in that shape.
They do.
Rather than discs, for example.
Very common.
Is this just a big flight of these UFOs? Where are they going? What are they up to? We really don't know. So at any rate, I'm going to have a link to the video that you can watch on our UFO Files report page adjacent to this week's report, as well as a copy that you can click on of the report from Dr. Choi himself. So that should be quite interesting.
Sounds good.
Okay, Rick. That's sort of it for the news.
Uh-huh.
I think we're ready for some Rick's picks.
Oh, boy. I think this time, usually I give you something I've gotten from the National UFO Reporting Center. I think this time, since I'm actually, here and on the air with you, I think I'm going to give you one. Oh, of a friend I had that I used to work with. I used to work at a place in Linwood, Washington, called Phase Linear.
Mm-hmm.
It's an electronics place, and we made high-end stereo equipment there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a lot of people working there, probably, 150 people. And we had this one guy I used to work with there, and we used to call him Wild Bill. And he was not mentally retarded, but he was mentally slow. And so, they hired him on, and he would do some of the simpler tasks there, working with printed circuit boards and things. And real dependable guy, real fun guy. And so him and I would have conversations all the time, every day, day in and day out. And, one time I steered the conversation to UFOs, and he went on to tell me of a sighting that he had one time while walking home. He said it was approximately 72 or 73 late fall on a weekday evening around 7 p.m. He was walking home along a sidewalk in a residential area in Linwood. He began to notice a soft whining sound behind him, and so he turned to look and see what the heck it was, and he spotted a small pyramidal shaped object approaching him. It was kind of on the other side of the street, maybe 20-25 feet in altitude, going probably right along the tree line there and approaching him from the rear. He said it was black in color. It was probably, 6 feet on each side. And he actually drew me a picture of it at the time. And I don't think it was actually pyramidal. I think it was triangular in shape. How a pyramid will have five sides to it. It's going to have four triangles, and then the bottom's going to be square. And this one was triangular on all sides, so I'm not sure how you would say that. But, each, it had four sides to it, each one of them triangular, but in a kind of a pyramid shape.
I think the description of that might be in terms of other sightings that we reported, a diamond shape.
Uh-huh. So it had four sides to it, anyway. Mm-hmm. And in the picture, and he explained it to me, it was black in color, and along the seams, it kind of glowed. And the points, each point of the object was the brightest area. And it came right along him. He said it sounded a little bit like a vacuum cleaner. It had kind of a sound of air and a whining sound to it.
I hope that it wasn't a vacuum. It sucked him up.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I asked him if he had any missing time at all.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't notice that he did, but he did say, though, that the object came and got it right up alongside him and suddenly just stopped. And he said he was so scared, he just he was frozen. He didn't know what to do. Fortunately,
right.
Within about 10 seconds, it proceeded on and just kept going straight on up the street until it was out of sight. But I thought that was a real interesting one. He drew me a really great picture. I lost the darn thing. I wish I would have kept it. I would have liked to have posted it up.
That would have been nice.
Yes.
Yeah. We had it, we could have posted it out there with the report.
Yeah, well, that really makes me mad that I lost that thing. Darn. I guess I got another one I could do.
Rick, before you get into the next report,
uh-huh.
Which I'm sure will be equally interesting.
I don't know, we'll see.
I see that I forgot to mention one thing special that we're going to be featuring here over the next few months and hopefully on into time. We're offering a new service through our shopping site, which is at www.shopjerrypippin.com, and there will be a link out there adjacent to this program to our shopping site. And this new feature is tarot readings by our producer and correspondent, Farah Yerduzu.
Oh, great.
And Farah, you know, has been doing tarot readings for much of her life. She's originally from Turkey,
right?
And she began doing readings at a rather young age, and she's continued to do so. So, you know, this is sort of like something she's done for a long time, as well as participating in UFO research.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Farah had her own UFO program over in Turkey,
right?
Which was quite popular. And we're certainly fortunate to have an association with her. So Farah decided that she would like to offer this service to our listeners. And I think it's a great idea. I've had tarot readings done myself. I was even interested in, you know, the tarot deck when I was much younger myself.
Uh-huh.
And even tried some readings, and surprisingly enough, they were pretty good. So I would recommend using this service. And you just go over to our shopping site, and you'll see, we'll include a banner ad for Tara's service that'll link you right to the shopping site page. I have a little message here from Mr. Jerry Pippin, who couldn't be with us today in person, but here's a message from him about Farah's new product.
Hello, this is Farah Yurduz. Maybe you have questions about love, your job, your health, money and more. With my psychic gifts and my tarot readings, we can reveal the solutions to your deepest mysteries. Please visit me through Jerry Pippin Radio, and let's find the answers together.
Click on Farrah's banner for the answers to the most personal question.
Okay. Sounds like a great product, Jerry. I hope our listeners will take advantage of this offer. So now we'll get back to Rick. Rick, do you have another report?
Well, I do. First off, I was thinking I wanted to mention to you the very first Rick's Pick you did a long time ago. It was about a V-shaped craft here in Washington State. Again, here in Washington State.
Right.
And I was just noticing something interesting about it the other day. I went on Google Maps because he explains pretty much exactly where he's at. And I noticed that, you know, because he said when he was picked up by his father before they actually had the sighting, that he was at his friend's house and they were riding go-karts.
Right.
So I started looking on the map, and you can actually see, you know, this was 1980, you can actually see an oval area out in a field where someone was obviously riding go-karts. I just thought that was kind of interesting, and I'll put that up on my website so you can take a look at it at www.ufopics.com. And that I do have, I thought that was kind of interesting anyway.
Right.
I do have a another sighting. I guess this one happened in December of 1969 in Richmond, Berea, Kentucky area.
This is another oldie but goodie, right?
Oldie moldie. And a lot of these old ones that I put on here, a lot of times they had just been reported in the last few months, you know, so.
Right.
They're actually
people
new.
People get old and yes. They say, I don't have long to go. I want to make sure the world knows about it.
That's right. The thing I like about those is those old ones like that is the people really take the time to put a lot of words in there and really explain themselves. And makes for a real interesting report.
Right.
Anyway, this one happened in the Richmond, Berea, Kentucky area in December of 1969. The thing interesting about this is the acceleration he notices on the craft. He saw a circular hovering object depart, bursting to incredible speed, is the title of it. In December of 69, four of us, three 18-year-old college students and one professional, were traveling south on Interstate 75, returning home after a University of Kentucky basketball game. At the time, we were south of Richmond, but north of Berea. I hope I'm saying that right. Or Berea?
I think Berea is probably right.
Probably. And it says all four of us saw an object overhead directly in front of us with an apparent altitude of a few hundred feet. The size cannot be estimated because the actual altitude could not be determined since there were no clouds or hills or mountains behind the object against which an estimate could be made. The object was round, in essence, a circle shape, and glowing with a white color, giving an appearance similar to that of a fluorescent light. And I've heard of that real often. In fact, you see that sometimes in pictures where it might be a disc-shaped object and it's all white.
Right.
Yeah, so that's pretty common. I've heard that analogy before where they say it's like a fluorescent light. It appears like a fluorescent light.
Right.
Anyway, at the time, as far as I was aware, fluorescent lights were only tube-shaped, whether straight or sometimes bent in a circle. I am referring only to the type of light produced by the object. The object had an apparent size larger than a full moon, and the brightness was similar to that of the full moon on a clear night. However, it was definitely not the moon. The object was hovering, moving very slow from east to west. As we watched the object, suddenly accelerate to a speed far faster than it would seem would be possible within the laws of physics, and moved beyond the western horizon so quickly that it was virtually instantaneous. At the point of the sighting, we were going down a long slope on the interstate, and the terrain was such that there was a very wide, unobstructed view towards the western horizon of several miles. And he goes on to say, accelerated is actually not the correct word, because acceleration implies that the speed increased from a slow speed to a faster speed through a process of going faster and faster. To the contrary, the object appeared to have no transition from slow east to west hover to a speed which covered miles from our location to the western horizon in perhaps a hundredth of a second.
Hey, it was a speedy one.
Poof, and it was gone. Actually, right. I've seen something like that myself, and maybe someday I'll tell you that. But tell you about that. But finishes up by saying the four of us agreed that we would not report the incident because of the ridicule that we probably would suffer. All three of the observers who were students at the time are now professionals, an accountant, a pharmacist, and an attorney. And there you have it. A craft just bursts. That'd be really interesting. It's sitting there and suddenly just poof, it's gone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we do get a lot of reports of that nature.
Absolutely.
All has to do with, you know, how these UFOs operate. Is they have this capability of going from one location in space-time to another, mm-hmm. almost instantaneously. If they choose.
Yes.
Sometimes they just amble along.
Right.
You know.
They obviously must be able to achieve zero mass somehow.
Right.
Because they don't, when they do their instant right angle turns and all that, it doesn't kill the occupants.
Right.
So, obviously, they're not affected by gravity and the laws of physics.
Right. You know, my particular theory about the thing is that literally they are manipulating space-time.
Uh-huh.
And, they just appear here and then they appear there.
That's right.
And to our eye, it looks like they're making right-angle turns instantaneously and things like that. But actually, they're just hopping from one point in space-time to another.
Right. Yeah, the longer I live, the more I realize that it's starting to seem like just about anything is possible. You know, if you can think of it, it can be achieved one way or another. And that's the way it's starting to look.
Well, speaking of catching anything that's possible, here we have a sighting here from Phoenix. I'm going to start our filers report.
That's a hot spot, Phoenix. Boy, a lot of stuff going on there.
This occurred on the 3rd of June, so not too many days ago.
Right.
And this report states, I enjoy sky watching on several live webcam sites. In other words, he looks at the webcams that are pointed out into the night sky, and he just likes to sit there and see what goes by, usually airplanes.
Right, get a bunch of monitors to going and a bunch of webcams, and who knows what you're going to see.
And he says, I've gotten many unknowns over the past month on the East Coast. See, in other words, this is from Phoenix, a Phoenix webcam, but this person himself lives back here on the East Coast, and he just goes around and looks at all these different webcams.
I love
There's a whole site out there that you can go to that has webcams from every city that you could imagine all over the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he just goes around and takes a look at these. So he said, I have started viewing www.phoenixvis.net which is a Phoenix webcam site, for about a week and caught an object above Superstition Mountain in Phoenix. I've been viewing these cams with the hope of catching a glimpse of the infamous Phoenix Lights. What a surprise to have captured an unknown on June the 3rd, 2007. I have several unknowns, high-resolution pictures, each over 1 megabyte, from several webcams that I haven't submitted or reported for fear of looking foolish for having captured so many in a short time.
Right.
I do have a picture here of what he saw on the webcam. Interesting. One can say, is this a streak of light? Or is this an instantaneous shot, and this is actually what appears to be a glowing cylinder of light?
Huh.
And, you know,
right,
this is not like a still camera taking a shot.
Right.
This is a live cam recording real-time motion. And so, therefore, you could say, well, this really isn't like a streak being recorded. This is, you know, the shape of the actual object.
Right.
Now, I don't know that for sure because I don't know this particular webcam, so remains to be seen.
Right. It might be just showing movement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is the streak, if you look at it, certainly does not have the appearance of an airline, an airliner passing through the picture.
Right.
Not the right kind of light structure, even if you get streaks.
Uh-huh, right.
So, let's see. Next, we have a report from Colorado. This is a dark triangle. Actually, we have two reports from Colorado. First one. Our family was walking the dog. Walking dogs is a favorite time at night to see UFOs. I even saw one myself in Fort Lee, New Jersey years ago when I was walking my dog.
That gets you outside where you can look at the sky.
We have two favorite phrases in UFO reports, it seems. I was out walking my dog when...
Or
I was out smoking a cigarette when...
Exactly. Yep, I read it all the time.
Right.
Those two things get people out more than anything.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So this occurred on Saturday evening, May the 26th at 9:30 p.m. It was in the middle of Washington Park, and I don't have a city here. Hmm. It just says it's in Colorado.
I'll Google it, see if I can find it.
Could be Denver, but I don't know. Or it could literally be a park out in the wilderness in Colorado. At any rate, our 11-year-old son pointed and asked, "What's that?" There were a vent. I didn't quite get what this meant, but now I do. There were a vent searchlights. In other words, somebody was having some kind of an event.
Mm-hmm.
Might have even been selling new cars. They do that all the time.
Right.
And searchlights were flashing on the clouds at the time. At first, we thought he was asking about the lights, you know, these searchlights. But all four family members quickly spotted a dark, triangular or boomerang shape moving slowly across the background of light and clouds. In other words, it's underneath the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's being seen here.
Right, and I just looked it up and it says that's in the Denver area of Colorado.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't say, you know, headline Denver, Colorado.
Right, exactly.
And it says that, you know, this craft was passing underneath the cloud deck, which was lit from underneath by the city lights. The clouds were a part of a storm front. The dark shape was clearly moving independently of the clouds. The shape was never illuminated by the searchlights and had no lights of its own. It also did not appear to reflect light.
Mm-hmm.
It was evidently primarily due to the absence of light, like a shadow. It was distinct when the cloud backdrop was solid and very hard to see when it crossed a darker or more broken patch of clouds.
Right.
The shape moved slowly to the southeast and then reversed direction back toward the northwest without even turning. In other words, here's this triangular boomerang. It's going in one direction, and it stops and immediately just goes back in the other direction without making any turns like an aircraft would.
Right.
Became faint and then disappeared in a larger area of dark sky. This event took about 3 to 4 minutes. Now, the other report from Colorado was on May 31st from Fountain, Colorado. This occurred at 12:45 p.m., or a little after noon. I was at Fountain Creek Nature Center near my home doing yoga on a platform out in the wetlands when I noticed swirling energy, not clouds, some kind of, you know, distortion of the sky above me.
Mm-hmm.
I was relaxing doing meditation while lying flat on my back looking up into the sky. I was observing the interesting energy swirls. They were difficult to describe. I'd never seen anything like it before, but there was an obvious energy disturbance taking place directly above me in the sky.
Wow.
Then a small white cloud suddenly appeared about the size of a softball. An even smaller piece of this white cloud separated from the main cloud. The main cloud quickly disappeared, leaving this peculiar little white triangular cloud in the middle of the blue sky.
Isn't that something?
Then this little cloud, the size of a big marble, now this is perception, of course.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this thing could have been at 10,000 feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or more.
Right.
Anyway, started spreading out, and behind it, I saw a cylindrical-shaped matte metal object.
Hmm.
All right, so cloud, and behind the cloud appears a obviously solid metallic looking object.
Wow.
It looked about the size of half of a ballpoint pen and was rounded on both ends. So this is
That's
one of
big.
These cylindrical craft, usually of large size and what people would call a mothership, because
right.
disks are often seen coming out of them.
Yes, uh-huh.
The cloud cover totally disappeared, leaving a non-shiny silver-gray object.
Wow.
It was only visible for approximately 15 seconds or so, but I saw it clearly. So that's quite a sight.
That
is. It appears that it's one of those events where a UFO basically materialized, and preceding that materialization, you get a condensation event.
Good observation, yeah. That's about
right,
what it does
in
sound
in terms
like.
Of moisture condensing around the point of energy.
Wow, what a sighting.
Let's see, what do we got here? New Jersey. Yeah,
oh,
we always like to do New Jersey,
you're
the home of George Filer and the home of Larry Dickens.
Absolutely.
We have a triangle report from New Jersey. And this is not from last week. This was actually from last fall on October the 13th, 2006.
Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, it's interesting, and one could wonder, well, why did it take so long for somebody to write to George of this report?
Right.
Well, people think about it for a while.
They do. You know, they have to decide whether they even want to report it at all.
Right. And sometimes they like to do their own investigations and
and
try to figure out what's going on before they put the report out.
Right.
People.
They want to make sure you can't identify it. You know, it's not identifiable.
Right.
And they think they look like an idiot for reporting it, which they don't, of course. But
Right. Well, this one, you know, comes with an impression of what the object looked like by the observer. So this took him a little time to draw this, too. The report comes from Bridgeton, New Jersey, and it says, Charles A. Stone writes, I was in my observatory, the guy's an amateur astronomer, with the intention of photographing certain nebulosity on or about October the 13th at 12:45 a.m. when I spotted a very bright light shining behind a tree line in the distance. I live in farmland. This is obviously in South Jersey. I thought it might be farm equipment, but it was much brighter than any farm equipment. The light began moving slowly north and started rising less than a mile away. Within 30 seconds, the light slowly rose above the tree line, and it was heading in my direction. It seems like they always do head in the observer's direction.
Sure seems like it.
Yep.
That's real common.
As the object approached my neighbor's house, the lights went out, and I thought it was gone. Apparently the lights on the object itself, not the lights in the neighbor's house.
Right.
Then suddenly I was confronted with an enormous object clearly defined by ambient light. I thought it was crashing, but as it approached my observatory, it began to rise. This thing was barely moving forward now, and could not be more than 200 feet above me, probably less. In other words, once again, it not only came towards him, it flew right over his head. And we get so many reports of flying triangles flying over observers' heads.
Yes.
It's like intentional.
Yeah, seems like it.
Right. I could make out detail of rivets and bolts in its construction.
Wow.
As the object's rounded nose began to approach me, I was really taken back by its brightly lit windows. I was shocked to see a humanoid form moving as if it were pacing back and forth, like Darth Vader,
interesting.
In the front port window.
Jeez.
As it got closer, the figure moved away from the window to the center of the craft. I thought there was no one at the controls. I got the impression it was getting ready to hover as its open hatch moved directly over me.
Wow.
Now, that's a little ominous.
That's quite
a
sighting.
Open hatch.
Jeez.
There he goes.
I'd be looking for a place to hide.
Inside the observatory, right. And I was entertaining some negative thoughts regarding my own safety. Details of the object are, it was at least two stories high with two large windows, port and starboard. It had a rounded nose. There were three opaque light-type structures, two large turbo-type structures, larger in diameter and shorter in length than those on a commercial aircraft. Eight flap or stabilizer-type structures aft, a very large square black container-type structure protruding off the center from its belly, an open hatch, and other bulky geometric shapes that I saw, but I cannot, can only remember that they were thick, huge, and bulky, with an incredible amount of drag that it could not be, you know, this really couldn't be aerodynamically stable.
Right. No way.
Too much stuff sticking out here. Almost immediately, I felt a surge of static electricity that tingled my face and hair on my arms and head. As its tail section was about to pass over me, I quickly swung the dome of the observatory and heard a low-pitched roar with the sound of a bacon sizzling in a frying pan. sort of electrical noise, yes. I would say. You know, static electricity.
Yeah.
And he did say, you know, like the hair standing up
yes.
on his head.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot of times, too.
Right. Suddenly, it was gone. No sound. I did a 360-degree search, but it suddenly just was not there.
Wow, what a sighting.
Right.
Man, I can see why maybe he had to think twice about posting that up for fear of somebody thinking he was, you know, crazy.
Right.
That's what people always worry about. I don't know. I don't think too many people think that much anymore.
So now we've got both of us with the hair standing up on our head here, what little I have to stand
right?
up. So with that, I think we're going to have to say goodnight.
Okay, well, I appreciate your having me. I really had fun. I can't believe it's already over, but I guess it is. So thanks for having
me. You know Jerry's byline?
I don't remember, but...
Watch out for those flying saucers.
That's right, and what should I do in the meantime?
Rick, you've got to keep your eyes to the sky.
I will do it. Thanks for having me.
Okay, good night, Rick.
Good night.
I'm a spaceman, and I just got you from space, a spaceman. I'm looking for the human race, a spaceman. I heard a whisper, it was here. I'm a spaceman.